Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Hey, good morning. It's 6:04. Welcome to our beautiful day. It's Wednesday. I'm Austin Hill, and this is the Faith Radio Network. And I'm going to say a word here that, well, by any measure, you don't have to be a freeloader. To put it this way, you don't have to be a freeloader to appreciate the word free, right? And I've got something to tell you about, especially this is particularly of interest to our listeners in the Sioux Falls area of South Dakota. But if you're anywhere within the reach of the Sioux Falls area and you can get to the Sioux Falls region, actually just about 10 miles outside of Sioux Falls, coming up this weekend, there is a great music festival that I'll tell you all about coming up here in just a few moments. And it's free. Now, of course, they can use your charitable donations to help sustain things, because in the grander scheme of things, there is no such thing as free. But great Christian music festival, many years in the running. I'll tell you about all about what's going on in the Sioux Falls area coming up in just a few moments here on Austin Hill in the Morning. We've got some great folks lined up to talk to today as well. John and Kendra Smiley, who I have just come to appreciate so much. Just in my less than 2 months here hosting this program here on the Faith Radio Network. They'll be talking to us. How's this for a title? This is actually a title of a blog post that they've got on their website. We've got it at myfaithradio.com. Opposites attract and sometimes they attack. Thank you, John and Kendra. Who else would deal with that topic and not only have some fun, but also serve up some real important biblical truths to our lives, things that we can relate to, besides John and Kendra Smiley? A lot of people would, but they do it like none other. So they'll join us later this morning, as they typically do on Wednesdays. They'll be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. And our great friend Bill English, the CEO of a tech company, and of course, he's also the publisher, the purveyor of BibleandBusiness.com. He'll be along coming up later this morning as well. And here's part of what we'll get into. We've got some thoughts on time management from Bill English. He writes eloquently and blogs prolifically at BibleandBusiness.com. But there's an issue in the news that I've actually been doing a fair amount of commentary on with other talk shows and other network programs around the country. I do that from time to time with my business, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, the small business program that airs here on the Faith Network. But I also comment on markets and the economy and business and such with other hosts. The issue is this. It looks like the reality, the fact that a long-standing American company called, you've heard it, Burger King, it appears as though they are on their way to relocating their corporate headquarters out of the United States and moving to Canada. And there is this really, you know, bash Burger King kind of element that has emerged all within about the last 48 hours around the country. I don't think that's a productive response to this. And I've got a lot to say about this, so does Bill English. So we will address that. I hope we'll get to some biblical sense on that, because I have to tell you, this bashing and boycotting and hating this company and protesting that company, that does not grow an economy. It doesn't. Treating business owners and those involved in large companies like they are something less than fully human, that does not incentivize people to put their talents and their capital and their resources at risk to grow their businesses. And we need businesses to grow in the United States. Generally speaking, people agree on that, that we need more business, we need more jobs, we need more opportunity. But treating companies as though they are just slime right from the get-go, that is not the way to do it. So anyway, we'll talk about all of this and more forthcoming here on our program on the Faith Radio Network. When we come back, we'll check in with, the guy who's in the know and can tell us all about this Christian music festival going on this weekend, and it's free. We'll go to Sioux Falls in just a moment. Stand by, 6:07. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. 9. It's the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. That is the sound of the band For King and Country, a song called The Proof of Your Love. And For King and Country is just one of the many bands that will be playing at the Lifelight Festival. It's happening just on the outskirts, I guess we could say, of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. On the news line here at the Faith Radio Studios, Jeff Ruff, he is the general manager of our Faith Radio affiliate in Sioux Falls, Faith 1270 AM. It's also runs Life 96.5 FM, which is a Christian music formatted station, the station behind the festival. Jeff Ruff, welcome to the program. How are you this morning, sir?
Good morning, Austin. Glad to be here.
Good to hear your voice. I've been a little concerned that you just haven't had enough to do over these last several weeks, Jeff. Have you been kind of bored filling up your days with productive things? Gosh, I don't know.
Well, you know, it was a beautiful summer down here, and after we had the heavy rains of June and flooding, and it turned out to be nice, and I can't complain. I have a great time off, and now it's fall, and fall around Sioux Falls means the Lifelight Music Festival, as you're talking about, and it's coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, it does indeed, and a lot goes into this. Now, I said that this is free, and one need not buy a ticket, as I understand. We'll get to how this actually happens, how it gets funded, and how you can afford to do this, but tell us what to expect from the Lifelight Festival over the weekend.
Well, this is the 17th year, and our good partners in ministry, Alan and Vicki Green, co-founded this back in 1998, and it is five stages of music, contemporary Christian music to rock. It's really music for all ages, for the young and the young at heart, and, you know, featuring the Afters, For King and Country, Colton Dixon, Skillet, Big Daddy Weaves, Thanks Israel, Michael W. Smith, and Life 96.5, Faith 1270, part of Northwestern Media, has been a part of this event and promoting it and telling people about it and helping to recruit volunteers. And as you mentioned, this is a free event. It is one of the only ones in the country that is totally free. And Alan and Vicki Green founded this back in 1998. They wanted to keep it free because they want everybody to be able to hear the gospel message of Jesus through music and through message. And so there is no charge for this festival.
Jeff Ruff, he's the general manager for Faith 1270 and Life 96.5 FM in Sioux Falls. And he is one of the driving forces, one of the figures behind the Lifelight Music Festival. It's going on. Now, this is at a location, as I understand, it's about 20 miles on the outskirts of Sioux Falls. Give us the precise location, if you would, Jeff.
Sure. It's about 10 to 12 miles straight south of Sioux Falls, just outside of a small town near Worthing. This was an active farm up until a few years ago, and this family donated 200 acres of land surrounded by the corn and soybean fields on the plains of South Dakota. And people come together. They transform it into five stages. There's parking. There's food. There's a ministry tents and booths. And people come out and they bring their lawn chairs and they sit in the field and they hear the good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed through music. And it attracts a thousand, not only from the Sioux Empire of South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, but from around the country. People will come because it is free and because it's 3 days of some of your favorite artists.
That is very cool. For the person who is interested, Jeff, they're maybe hearing about it for the first time, or they've been sort of thinking about getting around to doing something like this. Can somebody still volunteer to help out at this point, or do you have all the volunteer roster filled out and you're all good to go?
Well, the website to check out for the festival is lifelight.org, and you can get all the information that's happening there. You can volunteer. Obviously, as we mentioned, this is a free event, but it still costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to put this on with all the technical equipment and stuff. And so for the last 17 years, individual donors of businesses, churches, ministries have come together to support this ministry. And so if you're feeling called to support the ministry, you can do that. Julie Klinger is the festival director, and she says one of the reasons people get behind it and support it and attend it is because this festival really does provide a place of hope.
It certainly would appear that way. And my goodness, I looked at the website last night. I've got it in front of me here in our studio, and the roster of talent is just phenomenal. Jeff, stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. Quick break, and we'll talk a little bit further. Jeff Rupp, he is general manager of our affiliate radio station in Sioux Falls. That would be Faith 1270. He also runs Life 96.5 FM, a Christian music formatted station, all part of the Northwestern Media Group. And he's telling us about the Lifelight Festival. Yeah, you don't have to buy a ticket. You can just show up, lifelight.org, if you want info, going on this weekend, just outside of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It literally draws people from all over the country. We'll talk more about this in just a few moments. 616, you're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. On the Faith Radio Network, coming up less than half an hour away, some great news about world missions and the activities, the endeavors of Christians around the world. We have been inundated with such negative news, such horrific news about the slaughter of innocent Christians around the world. There actually is some good news. We'll tell you about that coming up at about 6:35. Also, our good friend Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com with us later in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Faith Radio Network. Jeff Rupp is on the news line here in South Falls, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That musical interlude we just heard there, that's, we call that rejoin music in the world of talk radio. That's a band called The Afters with one of their big radio hits, Light Up the Sky. The Afters are performing at the Lifelight Festival. That's coming up this weekend in the state of South Dakota. Jeff, I got to tell you, I have not spent a lot of time in South Dakota. In fact, I've never been to Sioux Falls. I have yet to travel there. But what you were describing as far as the location of the festival this weekend, it really does sound like this is acreage, quite literally, out in the middle of nowhere. And it's going to light up and be inhabited with great music and just a great time of evangelism and a lot of fun. A comment on the location again, if you would. I think you made some reference to the cornfields or something of that sort. But tell us more about that.
It is. There's a great family, the Peterson family, down here that owned many acres of farmland just about 10 to 12 miles south of Sioux Falls. And just a few years ago, the Lifelight Festival started in 1998, started in a church parking lot in the center part of Sioux Falls, and quickly outgrew that, moved to the fairgrounds, quickly outgrew that, moved to a water park west of town about 5 miles, and outgrew that. And about 3-4 years ago, a family came forth and said, hey, we've got 200 acres of farmland that we would love to donate to the festival. And 200 acres is great when you figure parking thousands of vehicles and setting up 5 stages and bringing in tens of thousands of people to hear these great artists for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, as you're there, as the sun is going down and you're sitting in the middle of a farm, surrounded by, you know, cornfields and soybean fields. Those are the main crops down in this part of the Dakotas and Minnesota and Iowa. And it truly is a breathtaking experience to see the beauty of God and then worshiping Him through music and through messages. And it's a unique setting. And many festivals are outside, and they are out in the country where you can gather lots of people and park vehicles. But it truly is a great setting. As we wind up summer, it's really kind of the end of summer with Labor Day weekend coming up here.
It really is. Lifelight.org, spelled just like it sounds. If you want info, lifelight.org. It's the Lifelight Festival going on this weekend. Jeff, thank you very much for what you do to organize this, what you have done, what you're continuing to do. I'm sure this is, and I say this very respectfully, it's going to be a very busy week. You're obviously very enthusiastic about this, but the remainder of this week and the entire weekend, there's no rest for the weary like you. You'll be working. So I hope it goes well, you and your colleagues. And again, just I want to be clear, if we'd like to help out with financial support or maybe even some volunteer work, we can get all the contact info at lifelight.org and get involved, correct?
Correct, yes. And pray for Alan and Vicki Green, the founders, and their team, Julie, and many many of the hundreds of volunteers and pray for the teenagers, for the youth who will make decisions for Christ. Our station organizes a Bible drive every year, and usually 5,000 to 6,000, 7,000 Bibles are collected from people who donate them. And everybody who makes a decision for Christ, everyone who rededicates their life and begins to follow Christ anew, gets a Bible so they can enter into God's Word and to grow and be discipled. So if you can't make it to Sioux Falls this weekend for the festival, pray for God to move in the middle of this farm for the Lifelight Festival.
I love it. Moving in the middle of the farm. Sounds good. Jeff, thanks for what you do. We will check back and make sure you're getting adequate rest and eating a healthy breakfast and all those kinds of things. And we'll look forward to great reports. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Austin. Glad to have you part of the Faith Radio Network.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Appreciate that. Jeff Rupp, manager of our Faith Radio Talk Radio affiliate, Faith 1270 in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and manager of Life 96.5 FM, a Christian music station owned and operated by Northwestern Media there in Sioux Falls. And Aaron, I think we've got some time here on this end before the break. I've got this audio here. This is the audio of Julie Klinger. She is the director of the Lifelight Festival. Let's go ahead and give a listen. Roll it.
He definitely anoints the ground there, and you can feel it when you walk on there. And I think that's why people keep coming back every year and keep bringing more and more people, and why it doesn't seem to stop growing. It just seems to be this a place you find hope. And not many places today do you go to something where you just feel so full of hope and you feel so joined with others in community. And that's what's so special about it. We didn't do that. God did that through us. And we're just so blessed that he lets us be a part of putting this on every year. And then he calls people to serve and calls people to give. And without all that, it wouldn't happen. So it takes an army of people to finance it and to serve it and to make it happen so that people can walk on those grounds and feel that spirit overwhelm them.
Julie Klinger, director of the Lifelight Festival in South Dakota, lifelight.org, if you want info on that. Glad to be a part of it, too. It's now 6:24 here on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up just about 10 minutes away, our great friend Greg Yoder. Greg Yoder is the executive director of the Mission Network News Organization. He actually has some very good news about the work of Christians around the world. We'll talk about that. Also, John and Kendra Smiley on the way into the 7 o'clock hour. Sometimes opposites attract, and sometimes they attack. So say John and Kendra Smiley. Boy, isn't that the truth, too. So say John and Kendra Smiley. We'll find out what they've got in mind forthcoming. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:25. I'm Austin Hill. Welcome to Wednesday. Good morning. It's now 6:26 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Yesterday on Connecting Faith, the program hosted by Neil Stavem, weekdays at noon, Neil was interviewing author Leslie Leland Fields. They dug into the difficult issue of forgiving our parents for past wounds. Leslie concentrated on the huge role that showing mercy plays in every relationship, even when forgiveness is necessary. Here's what that sounded like.
They owe the king. You know, they've been stealing from the king, and they owe him huge, massive debts. So large, never in a lifetime of work can those debts be repaid. Justice is the king looking down at that servant and saying, hey, buddy, you've been stealing from me. And you've been sinning, you've been stealing, you're robbing me blind. I'm going to throw you in the slammer for, you know, for the rest of your life, because this is a life sentence crime. And that's justice, right? Getting what he deserves. But of course, God is not that kind of a God. God looks down at him and his heart breaks for this man or this woman. And he says, you can't repay. So you know what? I'm going to pay. I am going to pay your debts. That's mercy. That's mercy. And it's so undeserved. So undeserved in every way possible. And so that's us. That's us standing before a holy God with all of our sins and our crimes and our guilt. And God looks down and says, yeah, you deserve death, you deserve to be locked up forever for what you've done, but I love you. I'm going to erase all that. I want you to go out free. And so we run out of the presence of the king. And here's where the problem comes. Here's where the problem comes. We have received mercy, and that's now what we're supposed to do for the rest of our lives. We're supposed to run to the people who owe us. We're supposed to run to them and say, I forgive you. You owe me all of this. It's okay. I've been forgiven. All my debts, I'm going to forgive you of all your debts. But that's the opposite of what this guy did, right? He ran to the first person he thought of who owed him money. And the amount that he owed him was just this piddling little amount. You know, when he grabs him by the neck and he says, hey, you owe me. And, you know, I saw myself as that person. I saw myself as the one who runs out of the presence of God, free. I had received not justice, but mercy, incredible mercy. And then I ran to my father, grabbed him by the neck, and said to him, you owe me. You owe me all of these debts because you were a lousy father. And I realized, no. I have received mercy upon mercy. Now, let me extend the same mercy to my father.
That's the voice of author Leslie Leyland Field speaking with Neil Stavem on Connecting Faith, heard weekdays 12 noon Central Time. Coming up today on Connecting Faith, Neil welcomes marriage experts Dave and Claudia Arp to share from their latest book, The $10 Great Dates. That's Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem, weekdays 12 noon Central Time on the Faith Radio Network. It's 6:29. Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. The news is on the way next.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Thanks for being with us. I am here weekday mornings, 6 till 8, as we get your day started. We're here to connect faith to life, and we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful as you get your day started. Hey, coming up later this morning, of course, our great friend Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com joins us shortly after the news at 7 o'clock. And John and Kendra Smiley are just such wise parents and such a fine couple themselves. They offer such great wisdom on parenting and their relationships. They'll be here to tell us about how opposites attract and sometimes they attack. I hear a song hook coming. That sounds like that's got a nice rhyme scheme to it. I think that's a lyric in the making. But seriously, you know, they're the kind of folks that can enable us to laugh just a little bit, but also to take a serious look at things that matter most and find our way forward. So that's coming up into the 7 o'clock hour here on the Faith Radio Network. How about some good news regarding the activities of Christians around the world? Greg Yoder is the executive director and weekday anchor of Mission Network News. That's a nonprofit organization devoted to communicating the good news of the gospel and the work of the church around the world. He joins us on the guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Greg, welcome back to the program. Good to talk to you this morning.
Well, good morning, Austin. It's great to be back.
Always a pleasure to hear your voice and to get updates. And my goodness, so many times, I think the last several times we've spoken over the course of the summer, Greg, the news has not been good about the cause of religious liberty and therefore the cause of the gospel and those who are seeking to proliferate it around the world. But it appears as though you actually do have some good news. Now, I want to get to this news headline now from Mission Network News website. Ministry seeks a long-term strategy. Refugees face increasing danger, and brave Muslims speak out. That sounds like a real mixed bag. This is Dateline Iraq. Tell us what's going on here, if you would, please.
Well, Austin, you probably have heard about ISIS, and the president calls it ISIL, and then there's those inside that call it just IS.
Right.
Of course, we're talking about the Islamic State, but of course, we're hearing stories, horrible stories, where kids are being killed, that Chaldeans are being tortured. Christians are being threatened to leave, and then when they do leave, everything they have is stolen, and then they're forced out into the heat of the day, which right now is, you know, 110, 115 degrees, and expected to survive. And what's crazy is nobody's saying much. I mean, obviously we're seeing things on the news, but not much is being done to help them.
Yeah.
There are some groups on the ground that are doing that. And, of course, we're hearing some great stories about groups like EFCA Reach Global and their crisis response. They decided that they wanted to do something. Of course, they're based here in the United States, but
mm-hmm.
They're connecting with people there on the ground and being able to, through the Barnabas Fund, be able to share not just food and clothing and water and the things that they need, but actually going in and sharing the gospel, because a lot of these people are so hungry for truth. I mean, these people that are being forced out of these areas from IS aren't necessarily Christians. They're just non-Muslims or
right.
non-practicing Muslims. So many of them are unreached people groups. And so this is really an opportunity for Christians to not just love on them and not just provide for them, but to share Jesus with them.
Yeah, and thank you for that clarification. That is the case. If from this radicalized worldview, whether you're Christian or Jew or atheistic or just completely secular, irreligious altogether, you're an infidel, and therefore you're a problem from this radicalized worldview. Greg Yoder is with the Mission Network News Organization. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Another part, I guess, entailed in all this ugliness in Iraq, and your agency, Greg, is the first to report this that I'm aware of, but we actually have some, as you put in the headline, brave Muslims speaking out, in essence standing with Christians and others who are not a part of this radicalized Islamic faction, and saying, you know, this is not the way we treat people. We hear this all the time here in the United States, that the religion of Islam, as it were, is a peace-loving religion, and the president reiterates this over and over again, even in the aftermath of the beheading of an American journalist last week. President Obama, when he spoke about that, he said, no God, no faith would bless that. Well, here we have evidence, apparently, and please elaborate on this for us, Greg. We have Muslims standing with the Christians, in effect, in Iraq, and saying, no, we're not going to let our country just be completely overrun by this radicalist Islamic State. Tell us more, if you would.
Well, and I'll just say this, that while they're more speaking out, they're also more being killed, and because they're facing ISIS, and ISIS says you either obey the law of Islam or you die. And so that's what's happening. But these are true Muslims. Obviously, they're probably more nominal Muslims than the radicals. They are practicing Muslims, though, and they're really coming alongside these Christians because they're just sick and tired of their faith being hijacked. And so these are more Christians, the Kurds in the north. A lot of the people that have been forced out of Mosul and some of the other areas where ISIS has kind of come in and taken over. These are people that are obviously probably more friendly with Iraq, the government itself. And so when you look at all the different segments of Islam and the different cultures, you have the Shia and the Sunni and how they're fighting. I mean, these are people that want peace because they don't want their land destroyed. And so I think we're beginning to see that and hear that. But at the same time, these people from ISIS continue to attack these people. And now we're even hearing people that there are probably 100 Americans that are actually fighting for ISIS in Iraq and also in Syria.
Greg Yoder with Mission Network News on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. Greg, give us some idea for those of us who are just, you know, plain old everyday civilians. We live ordinarily here in the United States, which by world standards, ordinary living in the U.S. is extraordinarily good in most cases. But those of us who are just private civilians, private citizens, give us an idea of what Iraqis and specifically Iraqi Christians what they're thinking of the United States right now in terms of our government and our military presence and what they would like to see happen from the United States of America. Can you put that in perspective for us?
Well, initially, they felt like they were alone because the United States and the rest of the world, they weren't doing anything. They were just basically letting ISIS run the table. And now, since the United States has started bombing, in fact, they just kind of took back the Mosul Dam, which mm-hmm. obviously is a huge thing. They have extra hope, and they're praying that God will do some tremendous things, not necessarily through the government, but will allow people to have hope, not only in what's going on in their nation, but most importantly in Christ. And if that can take place, they're going to be amazed at what happens just with people's change of heart, with people obviously giving their heart to Jesus. That's going to be the thing that really changes a nation. It's not going to be the food. It's not going to be a military conflict. It's going to be a change of heart. And if people can be praying about that specifically, that God can change the hearts of Christians that are on the ground there, that can give them hope, that can continue sharing Christ despite what lies before them. I mean, death literally faces them every single day. If they can do that and people respond to that, you know, we know who's going to win.
We do indeed, but I want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly, and therefore all of us are hearing you correctly, Greg, and that is that Iraqis and Iraqi Christians are actually grateful for the airstrikes, the military bombings that the U.S. military is engaged in to try to minimize and contain this terrible group, the Islamic State. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. That is correct.
Very good. Greg, stand by. More that I want to ask you about. We'll continue in just a moment. Our great friend Greg Yoder, he's with the Christian Mission Network News Organization. He reports all over the world about the activities of Christians around the world, and he joins us regularly. We'll continue with him in just a moment. It's now 6:44. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Good morning, and welcome to Wednesday. Good morning, 6:46. Wednesday underway. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning, 6 till 8. Still to come, just about 10 minutes away, a little preview of what Susie Larson has for us later this afternoon on her program, Live the Promise. So stand by for that. Greg Yoder is with Mission Network News. He's on our news line here in the Faith Network studios. Mission Network News, of course, reporting on the activities of the church all over the world. Greg, I want to ask you about this headline on your website, Good News for Religious Freedom in Greece. Now, we don't hear a whole lot about Greece here in the U.S., except for the fact that the government is broke and the economy is non-functional. But there has been some steps forward in terms of religious freedom in that country. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you probably will know that Greece obviously has a long history of religion, even the early church.
Sure.
But back in 1938, I guess it was, they actually passed a law that restricted religious freedom where they actually couldn't proselytize. And so they've been under that that legislation for quite some time. But because of some things that are taking place right now in the government, they're actually reconsidering that law right now. And the reason being is because they have so many some people that are coming into the country, whether it be from Middle Eastern nations or wherever they're coming from, that they want to be able to actually see them come to a different faith than Islam, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And so they're actually talking about relaxing this law. And we talked to some folks at AMG International. In fact, the president, Tasos Ioannidis, and he shared a good example of some of them facing what the church was facing and how this is just an incredible thing for them. And you think of having that law in place for so long, and to think that, you know, over the course of a several dozen years, now it's all going to change, and how it's going to open doors for Christians to be able to share their faith like no other time before. AMG International, if you remember, maybe some of your listeners remember, they actually opened a Cosmo Vision Center right around when the Olympics took place in Greece. And that is still in place. It's still operational. It's training Greek Christians in how to share their faith very effectively. And they believe that this could be the springboard for a widespread a revival, I think, in Greece.
Hmm. Greg Yoder, at the end of the day, and this is, I guess, my final question for you here in this segment, but at the end of the day, what is the cause of the church? What do those involved in the work of the cause of Christ worldwide. What do they need from those of us here in the United States? I mean, that's a very broad, general, blanket question. Answer that as you see fit. What's the most pressing need from us? Is it us to be more aware? Is it for us to be more forthcoming with donor dollars? Is it us for us to be more proactive with the direction of our foreign policy? What is it, would you say?
Yes, all of that. No, but I think when you talk to Christians that are especially going through persecution, they don't ever ask for money. They don't ever ask for us to come and help them. The one number one thing they ask for is to pray. And then once they do tell you to pray, they don't tell you to pray for their safety. They ask you to pray that they'll be bold and that they'll share their faith despite the cost. And then the second thing they ask for is they ask for us to be praying for ourselves that we'll go through the persecution that they're facing so that the church here in the United States becomes strong. That's their fear, that the United States church will become so weak that we won't have any significance anymore. While we still have incredible means in terms of dollars, and we do need to give dollars, it's very important.
Sure.
The most important thing that they ask for is our prayers and that we know what's going on in the world so that we can pray most effectively, so that we can pray, give, and go. Because if we don't know what's going on in the world, we can't pray. And if we don't pray, the world, obviously the Lord's not going to be in it.
Very interesting. Greg, thoughtful comments as always. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us, and we will look forward to speaking again very, very soon. And, of course, as news breaks and you need to get that good word out to us via the Faith Radio Network, please, as you know, never hesitate to call us, okay?
We'll be sure to do that. Thanks, Austin.
Good to talk to you. Greg Yoder from Mission Network News. We'll get all that info for you on our mobile-friendly website at myfaithradio.com. It's now 6:51, and it's Wednesday. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, a preview of what Susie Larson has on her program, Live the Promise, later this afternoon. We'll get to that coming up next. Wednesday morning underway. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Susie Larson hosts Live the Promise weekday afternoons 3 till 5 p.m. Central Time. And yesterday, Susie welcomed to her program author Liz Curtis Higgs. They talked about finding God's redemption even in the most difficult times of our lives. Here's part of that conversation.
Well, you make such a good point when you said, you know, you chose the guys that mirrored really how you felt about yourself. And Liz, don't you think that that's the case for almost everything that we believe about ourselves? Our choices really mirror what we believe to be true about ourselves. And that is why the truth so matters, that it gets into our soul, because it'll reflect how we choose.
It does. It reflects not only who you might choose to marry, it reflects the kind of job you might seek, the kind of education you feel you're worth pursuing, the money that it's appropriate to spend on yourself. It's like okay to wear a nice outfit. Sometimes we live out of this sense of worthlessness, and it shows in every choice we make. And of course, we really don't feel worthy of God. We know that God is good. Maybe scary good, and as in he's good, but he's powerful, and that makes him a little bit frightening if you feel not good. And yet, here's this love. It's the love of God that is what shines through, and his goodness is expressed in his love, not in judgment, not in condemnation, not all the things, frankly, people expect from God. I mean, that's why I didn't go to church for 10 years. I thought, you know, the place will collapse when I walk through the door. Lightning bolts will strike through the ceiling. You know, the place will just, you know, implode. I had pictured all the worst things happening, and not to mention being around those good people. I was sure they would see right through me and write me off as a bad girl and not give me the time of day. And, of course, it was exactly the opposite. Wow. When I first walked in the doors of a church as an adult, here were these warm, friendly, loving, welcoming people. It just shocked me that such people existed and carried this banner of Christ over their hearts. It was, I had no idea. had no idea. I love when churches have an invite a friend day, because so often they just haven't been in church in a while, and their vision of church isn't at all what you're going to take them to, and it blows their mind. Great music and exciting things happening, and much joy and great warmth.
Author Liz Curtis Higgs on Live the Promise with Susie Larson just yesterday afternoon. Quite a conversation indeed. Now, this afternoon at 3, Susie welcomes to the microphone pastor, lawyer, and novelist Randy Singer. That's, again, 3 p.m. this afternoon, Central Time, on the Faith Radio Network. Live the Promise with Susie Larson. You'll hear it right here. And we hope you will be here. And by the way, if you don't hear it live real time on your radio, mobile phone, computer, tablet, whatever, if you don't hear the live stream or live broadcast, you can always go to our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com, and we'll have that audio archived. That is, you know, after the program. It has to actually happen before we, you know, put the, our, yeah, you see where we're going with that. Anyway, myfaithradio.com, our place in cyberspace, and we always call it our mobile-friendly website simply because, regardless of whether you have an Android or an iPhone, either one, well, it just, you know, configures just so beautifully on your phone screen there. Don't need no special app. That's what's going on. MyFaithRadio.com. Now, it's 6:55, coming up into the 7 o'clock hour. We, of course, have SRA News at the top of the hour. And after that, our great friend Bill English joins us. Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com. He is the CEO of MindSharp, a technology company. He's also, and I really have great admiration for this guy. He's not only just a lot of fun and has a wonderful family and just a fine person in the body of Christ and in our community, but he's also a lot of fun to be with, and I think that comes out in our program. At BibleAndBusiness.com, Bill blogs and writes quite prolifically and quite regularly, and he's written some very interesting insights on a biblical worldview, biblical perspective, if you will, on time management. And that's one of those timeless things that we can wrap our minds around, and Bill's so good with that. We will talk about that later this morning after the news at 7 o'clock with Bill English. I also have asked Bill to join me and comment, dialogue with us just a little bit about a bit of business news that you've probably heard a lot about over the last, say, 48 hours or so. And it has to do with a restaurant chain, fast food restaurant chain, here in the United States. Now, talking about fast food restaurant chains, maybe something that seems just completely irrelevant to you and your walk of faith, or your concerns of the day and so forth. But let me just preface this by saying that there are issues in play surrounding this restaurant chain that really do connect to our faith in very direct ways. And they connect on levels that I discuss regularly on my weekend program. Perhaps you've heard my weekend show, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. That's where we connect faith to the realm of business and enterprise and making a living and free market economies and those kinds of things. Our faith, that the scriptures themselves have enormous truths for them, truths for us to grapple with as it pertains to business and the economy, if only we are looking for that kind of wisdom in the scriptures. But we'll talk with Bill about the impending merger, sale and acquisition and merger of the Burger King company. And this is not an advocacy for Burger King food, or it's not an encouragement that you stop by your local Burger King. It's not a message to say don't go to Burger King. This is a no boycott zone. That's not the point here at all. The hostility that has emerged in the last 48 hours towards the Burger King company is a real serious problem. Burger King is just the latest example of it, but there is hostility towards business in our country. And Christians need to step up, calm the seas, and make sure it stops. We'll talk about it coming up. I'm Austin Hill.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Good morning. It's 7:04. Welcome to Wednesday. Hope your day is underway and off to a great start. I am Austin Hill. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8, where we seek to connect faith to life, and we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful as you get your day started. How's this for a subject matter? Opposites attract, and sometimes they attack. Now, probably a lot of nodding of the heads. Yeah, sometimes that happens. John and Kendra Smiley join us in just about half an hour from now. John and Kendra Smiley, family counselors, authors, speakers, folks that minister to parents and couples literally around the world, and we're privileged to have them each week here on the program. They'll be joining us at about 7:35 to talk about how opposites attract in relationships, and sometimes they get pretty rough with each other. They can put a smile on our face, but also sober us up and get us to focus in on some very important truths. And they're just such gifted folks. So John and Kendra Smiley joining us coming up at about 7:35 this morning. Also, our great friend Bill English will be along the way in just moments. Bill English, tech expert and corporate CEO, runs his own tech company, but also a seminary grad, a psychologist, and the publisher of BibleAndBusiness.com. He'll be along the way. And he's written some things very prolifically about a biblical perspective on time management. And so I want to comment on that, but I also want to engage with him in some thoughts on the news that has been just running wild. And the reaction to the news is really, I guess, the big item here. The reaction to the news that an American restaurant chain called Burger King may be shifting part of its operations, not all of it, I don't think, but part of its operations to the country of Canada. And you may have heard some of the boycott Burger King and the hostility and the anger that has emerged towards Burger King. And tell you what, I am tired of living in a boycott zone 24/7. I really, really am. If we want people to work in our country, and scripturally, biblically, theologically, we know we are called to be productive and to work. Those of us who are healthy and able-bodied and of legal age to do so, we are called to work. If we want jobs in our economy, we've got to change the attitudes that are running rampant in our culture as they pertain to business, and yes, even those terrible large corporations. I'm not saying large corporations are terrible, but that's the prevailing mindset. This is a situation where to better our culture and our surrounding world, as Christians, we need to think differently than the dominant culture is. We've got to be countercultural in a productive and gracious way, but we've got to be countercultural on this. So we'll talk with Bill English about thoughts about the Burger King company coming up in just a few moments. You know, just a few seconds, I just want to share this anecdotally. I had a person who has listened to me on the radio for probably the last 20 years or so, and they happen to know, they happen to know that I'm a native Californian, something I'm kind of embarrassed by, too. I don't talk about being from California a whole lot, but they happen to remember me from the days that when I used to translate English names and English words into Spanish. And somebody actually emailed me from California yesterday and said, "Hey, that guy Bill English that's on the program regularly, wouldn't you want to say his name Guillermo Iglesias? Guillermo Iglesias." He probably doesn't like that, but I just thought that was kind of fun. We'll talk to Bill English, or Guillermo Iglesias, if you will, coming up next. 7:08, it's the Faith Radio Network. The Spanish will stop. I'm Austin Hill. Good morning and welcome. Wednesday underway on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Yes, time is it's a scarce resource, is it not? We only have so much time given to us by our God. Nobody knows the day or the time of their departure from this earth. Bill English, a business executive and publisher of BibleAndBusiness.com. He's written prolifically on this issue of managing one's time. Some people like to call him Guillermo Iglesias. I just call him Bill English. He joins us once again on the newsline. Good morning, Bill. How are you, sir?
Hey, Austin. How are you? Or maybe I should say Austin La Colina.
Yes. Yeah, see, well, see, I have a brother-in-law who's a native of Mexico. He's a legally immigrated U.S. citizen, but he refers to me as Austino de la Colina, which would be Austin of the Hill, which is totally messing with, you know, grammatical rules and English-Spanish translation, but it's kind of fun. And so anyway, yeah, so, yeah, Guillermo. Have you ever been called Guillermo before?
I have, actually. When I was in grade school, they used to call me that a little bit. So
okay.
That brings back some
baggage.
Yeah, you know, so kind of like Billy Crystal in that movie Princess Bride. Thank you for bringing up such a sore subject. No.
Well, you're a clinical psychologist, you know, that physician heal thyself. Anyway, let's talk about the issue of time. Now, you've written some very striking things to business owners specifically, but they really do apply to all of us, whether we own and operate a business or not. Some thoughts on time and how scarce it really is. Where do you, and I know you've gone out and spoken about this, Bill. Where do you begin a conversation about time?
Well, I begin a conversation about time by noting that it is something that God created.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a very real sense, it has not always existed. And will not always exist in the future because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and I'm assuming that time will not be in that. Now, I could be wrong, but it is something that God created, so it is, in that sense, temporal.
It is, and on the thought of time in the afterlife and in heaven, and it seems to me, theologically speaking, that's a fairly universally held belief that time as we know it today, at least in this temporal existence of ours, will not be the same in eternity. Nobody really knows, but my point is simply that you're not the only one to think that.
Well, and I'm glad to believe that I'm in the majority rather than the minority. Yeah, I just don't see how time persists into eternity as we know it today. I just don't see it happening.
That said, when it comes to business, whether we're owning and operating a small business or we're serving in leadership or some other capacity in a larger company, or even just when it comes to managing the time of our own lives, my goodness, there's just an endless list of gadgets and apps and software and time management tools available at our disposal. But what you've done at BibleandBusiness.com, Bill, is really boil it down to, not that those tools are unnecessary or not worthwhile, but you've boiled it down to some biblical principles. Where do you begin to continue the discussion about time management?
What I do with time management is I just simply say we focus on that which is eternal, if possible, over that which is kind of the urgent or the temporal. The core idea that I had out at my blog was this notion that because time is temporal and because our time on this earth is temporal, many of our decisions need to be made in light of eternity. So as small business owners, sometimes we're going to make decisions that are, as you just recently mentioned, countercultural
mm-hmm.
to what would be accepted business practice by American business gurus because we understand that there is an eternity and a judgment and a reward system in eternity that is impacted by the decisions that we make today. And so we make our decisions differently. For instance, we might choose to take less profit and pay somebody more simply because that's the right thing to do in light of eternity. We might choose to give more money away than what some would suggest that we should give away
mm-hmm.
because we know that that's what God wants us to do, and in light of eternity, it doesn't really matter anyways. So in terms of keeping the money and hoarding it. So when you make decisions based on what's coming up in eternity, it necessarily changes your decision-making process.
It does indeed. And that's not to say, Bill English, that the immediate temporal issues that face us all, budgetary constraints, expenditures, those kinds of things, those issues don't go out the window. I mean, there are some things screaming for our attention and have to be addressed right here in the here and now kind of thing.
Oh, of course. And actually, the majority of your attention may be spent on temporal things, but the majority of your important decisions should be made with eternity in mind.
Yeah.
I'm actually fond of saying, of looking at other people in business and just saying, look, it's just money. Get over it. You know?
Yeah.
It's just money.
Yes, that's very well stated. We can't live without it, but at the end of the day, there is a bigger picture. When we come back, we'll continue with Bill English, publisher of BibleandBusiness.com. Bill, let's talk about the big issue that's creating a lot of consternation online and engendering a huge corporate backlash here in the United States and calls for boycotts. It has to do with the Burger King restaurant company and their choice, a freely made choice, and the executive leadership of this company is free to make these choices. They are apparently buying up another restaurant company in Canada, and Burger King will move portions of their operations out of the United States. Why the backlash? Well, we'll tell you about it and perhaps suggest a more healthy, more productive response to this news. All this and more just ahead. 7:15, it's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
In the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
7:18. I'm Austin Hill, and thank you for being with us here on listener-supported Faith Radio. We always appreciate you coming on board and lending your support. Info at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. You've seen the headlines, I'm sure. A major restaurant chain here in the United States of America, Burger King, has announced plans to actually buy up and merge with a Canadian-based coffee and donuts restaurant chain. It's called Tim Hortons Coffee. And Burger King is going to buy out Tim Hortons, so it appears right now. Burger King will then move part of its corporate operations out of the United States and into Canada. This has engendered very quick and swift, and I would say very visceral responses from many of our fellow Americans around the country, calls to boycott Burger King and to try to impugn them and punish them for moving operations out of our country. And, of course, there's that very blanket, generalized assertion, that attack that says Burger King is unpatriotic. Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com. He is a tech CEO and a theologian as well. He's on our guest line and held over for another segment. Bill, give us your starting point to how you assess this news about an American company, a company that's been a part of our country almost as long as I've been alive, Burger King, and their decision to move a good bit of their operations out of the U.S. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have several thoughts on that. First of all, let's realize that Burger King is actually owned by a Brazilian private equity firm, of which Warren Buffett has recently invested. So the president's right-hand man on trying to get rich people to pay more taxes, Warren Buffett, is now in bet on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the way I look at it is that because we're in a global economy now, companies are able to move across national borders more easily and more freely. And I think this is just the result. This whole inversion mess is just a result of our onerous tax system. The criticism that is levied against companies that they're doing this mainly for taxes, I think, is unfounded, simply because, as in the case of Burger King, they're buying Canada's equivalent of Dunkin' Donuts,
mm-hmm. And
then moving their operations up there, and they're going to be more profitable both through the economies of scale and through an increased synergy of product lines. Companies do not invert simply for taxes. They invert for other business reasons as well. And I think the criticisms are unfounded because they are founded in the belief that profits are somehow bad, or too many or too much profits are bad. And I just fundamentally disagree with that. I think profits are good. I think profits are a spiritual good. I think they're a social good. They're certainly a business good. And they allow companies to expand and create jobs and invest in new product lines and services, and that is only good for the community. Profits really allow the community to flourish, and that is something that, as a Christian, we should be applauding, not criticizing.
I would like to think so, Bill English. Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. Boiling this down to those of us who maybe don't own and operate businesses or don't aspire to, I look at it this way, Bill. I say, you know, that the condition of the economy matters to everybody. Even if you don't work, even if you're a retiree, even if you work in a church and you're focused entirely on ministering the gospel and not really concerned so much about material or monetary sorts of things, the work of the church doesn't continue at the pace and at the level and in the ways that it has without a prospering economy. And to have a prospering economy, we need job creation. We need businesses like Burger King and others, lots of others, to be expanding and growing and trying new things and producing profits. And the hostility here towards Burger King, because they've made the private owners, private executives and investors of Burger King that have made decisions that are good for them. They are exercising, biblically it would seem to me, stewardship over the resources that have been entrusted to them at this point in time. Talk to us, if you will, Bill, from the vantage point of biblical stewardship over managing resources in such a way that they do produce the greatest good. I believe that's what's going on here, but on the surface, some people don't really see that, I don't think.
Well, from a perspective of biblical stewardship, my earlier comments about profits being good are really founded in the story of the parable of the talents, where the servant who had five talents gained five more, the servant who had two talents gained two more. And there's a lot of pastors who will spiritualize that and say, well, it's really spiritual profits that they're talking about. No, they're really talking about economic profits there. And so any time that you can strengthen a community by having strong, profitable businesses, we ought to be doing that instead of criticizing it. It is a stewardship issue. What we do with the profits is also a stewardship issue, and I would suggest that most major corporations fall short at that point. But the earning and the creation of those profits is good. And let's remember that those profits don't just sit idly by. They are reinvested. And so if you have a 401k, if you have a pension plan, if you have a mutual fund, the chances are somewhere within that plethora of purchases within those pension plans and 401ks, there's some Burger King stock. You're going to benefit by this because the stock in an inversion, both the stock of the buying and the purchased company goes up, which is a little bit unusual. It's a little out of the ordinary.
Yes.
So there is good. There's a lot of good here when companies invert and they become more profitable.
Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com. He's on our news line, has been this morning. He customarily is in studio with us. One of these days, probably not too far away, you'll come into the studio and bless us with Tim Hortons coffee, I suspect.
You know, you just never know what your old buddy Bill is going to bring into the studio.
Bill, love what you do. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you, and we'll look forward
Take
to
care,
you.
Austin.
Talk again. Bill English from BibleAndBusiness.com. Thoughts on an issue that's attracting a lot of attention in our country, and I hope as Christians we can react differently than the prevailing culture is. It's 7:25. Good morning and welcome. Wednesday underway. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Breakpoints with Eric Metaxas on the way. Welcome to Wednesday. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. I'm here weekday mornings 6 till 8, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support of what we do at MyFaithRadio.com. All right, so by a show of hands, tell me, is there anybody in the room who has been married for perhaps many years, and you've stopped at times and wondered, how did I end up with this person? Anybody? I will just say that I'm sure my wife has said that many, many times before, and rightfully so. She had every reason to. That said, our great friends John and Kendra Smiley have written eloquently on this subject of how opposites attract. They say not only do opposites attract, sometimes they attack. John and Kendra Smiley, welcome back to the program. We attack each other. Say it isn't so. What's going on here?
Oh, we'd love to say it isn't so, but that whole thing about being opposites, yeah, we have a chapter in our book, Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse, entitled, Why Did I Marry Someone So Strange?
Yes.
Well, because opposites attract. And then, yeah, a lot of times there's some friction because of those opposite personalities.
Yeah. And so we nonetheless are attracted to each other in the early stages, and so many of us ended up getting married to somebody that was very different from us. Tell us why that is.
Well, I think it's kind of fills the gaps. You know, you say, oh, this person has got this attribute that you don't even realize you're saying it, but that I don't have. Oh, I've always kind of wanted to be like that. I think I'll decide to hang out with this person because they are so opposite.
Right, and I think that it's interesting that God could have made people attract however he wanted to do that, and a lot of times opposites do attract, and he's the guy that set things up. And you wonder, you know, you ask yourself why. Why would he do that? Why not have the same type of person attract? And Kendra and I have thought about that a lot, and when we're looking and talking about parenting, it makes total sense because if you have two opposite people and those opposite people learn how to get along, learn how to work together, not attack, kids are the ones that really benefit. And that's one of the reasons that I feel that in our world today, human beings, opposites attract.
No. Right. So you get a family, and no matter, what, if you've accepted and learned to grow in your personality, and I don't mean grow in the, you know, and so that it's out of control, and then your kids, no matter how God created them, say, oh, you know, God didn't mess up on me. Look, these two people are pretty different, and God didn't mess up on those.
A great example is Kendra and me. She's an extrovert, and she's very talkative, and I'm more of an introvert, not so talkative, the strong, silent type. And when we're parenting, our kids can see the best of both. They get an extrovert and all the wonderful, wonderful positive qualities an extrovert has. They get the good qualities that an introvert has. And like I said earlier, that if mom and dad can learn how to work together, and a lot of times this is really very difficult, but if they can learn to work together, it's amazing. Kids get the best of the extrovert, and they get the best of the introvert.
Isn't that interesting? John and Kendra Smiley with us yet again here on the Faith Radio Network. They've written eloquently about this notion that opposites attract, and sometimes they attack. We'll get to the attack component here in just a few moments. I was struck by a portion in your piece that's on our website at myfaithradio.com. You write, even a positive personality trait can become negative. And it strikes me, it's just a layperson's perspective here. I'm just the average guy looking at these things. You're the clinicians. But it strikes me that many of us, perhaps we were drawn to our spouse for a particular reason. There's a particular personality trait that we find very attractive. But then after marriage and over time, that very thing that drew us to that person is something that we don't find so attractive. Tell us what's going on with a positive personality trait becoming a negative one.
Well, because of my personality, I hate to think of just as a negative. So the way John and I have liked to phrase this through the years is that negative trait, it's simply a positive one that's carried to extremes.
Right, and I think a good example, again, is with Kendra. When we were dating, and what attracted me to her was she was an extrovert. She liked to talk. She was great with people, and I thought that was really appealing. Well, after we got married, all of a sudden I thought she was talking way too much, and that was starting to irritate me. And so instead of trying to understand that initially, what happened was she talked too much, and basically I started attacking and wanted her to be quiet, wanted her not to talk so much because I didn't understand it, and it went from something that I thought was very appealing to something that was very irritating. And so then what do? When something's very irritating, we try to get rid of it, and that's where the attack comes in.
Yikes, that sounded really
was scary, didn't it?
Kind of. And Kendra, just a little sidebar here. Did I hear you using maybe a new adjective in our vernacular? It wasn't negative. It was negative. Did I pick up on that?
I don't know whether I said that. That's possible.
I think that did slip out of her mouth.
Well, talk to us for a moment here about, you sort of dropped it off there at a good point, but let's take the next step here and talk about the attack. Nobody wants to admit that, you know, I'm attacking my spouse or my spouse is attacking me, but if we were real honest, we probably all would admit, those of us who have been married for a period of time, we probably have attacked and done hurtful things in ways that we never intended to. How do we understand that?
Well, an attack doesn't necessarily, first of all, mean anything physical. It's just basically a confrontation. And it was interesting because as somewhat newlyweds, I would say within the first year of our marriage, we decided there were certainly some things that we thought were very attractive about one another, and we weren't so sure anymore. And one of them was kind of how we responded in social events. And so what we decided to do was to fix one another. That's how we attacked. Now, we didn't even have a meaningful conversation. We were newlyweds. Sometimes it's tough. You haven't really figured out how to have those adult conversations. Mm. So we would go to a social event. John was in pilot training at the time. We would go to a social event, and John decided the way to help me understand how important it was not to be quite so talkative was he would be more quiet. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. He was only 23 years old. Well, I decided that as I saw him being more quiet, for goodness sakes, people were going to think he was arrogant, and really, he was a great guy. No problem. I would take care of that. I would simply become more talkative.
Okay.
Yeah, it really, so that was the way our attack, so to speak, began. And then we finally realized this was not working.
And John, how would you, you know, give us your perspective on this? You became more quiet. Tell us what was going on your side of the equation.
I think that, you know, the attack, we talk about attack, and Kendra and I a lot of times play, you know, instead of using the word attack, play games and try to control. And my best way to control and get things done was to be silent, and we ended up calling it pouting.
You'll notice he stumbled over that one. Stumbled. Didn't want to admit that one. Okay, go ahead, honey.
Anyway, and you know, we take who we are, and again, I'm the strong silent type, and so I could attack or I could control or try to control, I thought, Kendra, by being more silent and by pouting. And so this whole realm of, you know, what's going on here, the attack, what are we trying to do, why are we trying to do it, and again, it goes back to God brought you two together. There are positives in both of these. Let's see if we can't take a look at the positive part of Kendra being so outgoing and so good with people. Let's take a look at that and see what's there and see if we can't, as Kendra said, and this is what we learned. It took us a while. We're sometimes slow learners. But we did then start to understand this and start to have adult conversations. And then when we did that, then we realized, oh, my goodness, look what we've been doing that is counterproductive. I mean, it's not getting us any place at all. As a matter of fact, it's hindering our relationship and hindering us as parents. So that's the issue here, and that's how it kind of plays out a lot of times.
All right. I tell you what, we need to take a quick break. John and Kendra Smiley with us. When we come back, you two have written eloquently on this subject of opposites attracting and attacking. And a part of the solution to our dilemmas, you say, is accepting personal responsibility. We'll talk about what that means with John and Kendra Smiley when we come back. I'm Austin Hill. It's 7:45. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. John and Kendra Smiley, family counselors, authors, and speakers. They minister worldwide to couples and parents. They're speaking with us about some of their thoughts on how opposites attract and sometimes they attack each other. Now, John and Kendra, you note that one of the first steps to solving the dilemmas that arise when opposites attract, you say it's important to accept personal responsibility. What are we accepting responsibility for, and where do we begin with that?
Well, we're realizing that, yes, sometimes our positive traits do get carried to extremes, which, of course, remember, that is the definition of a negative trait. And so we try to take responsibility for ourselves and be our own governors rather than be the governor for someone else.
Mm-hmm. So we acknowledge that, hey, I've got this personality trait, but sometimes it can be overbearing. I mean, tell us more.
Well, sometimes it can be overbearing, or another attribute, should we say?
Right, and I think probably a beginning part here is to learn as much as you can about that personality.
Yes.
That was one of the things that Kendra and I found, that I didn't really understand everything about the personality that I had. And one of the other things, Austin, that's really interesting, we think our personality is the best. And that's the way that everybody should be. And that's one of the reasons why we try to change other people, because, and they're basically, if we were making it really, really simple, and I know you can make it more difficult, but they're like four basic personalities. And so learning about that, and as we learn more about that, I learned more of the positive things in my personality, the negative things, and that helped me work on them. And that's taken a responsibility of just learning and growing. And Kendra did the same. And so it's like anything else. The more knowledge you have about something, the better able you are to deal with that. And so as Kendra learned about her personality, I learned about my personality. Now we can have an adult conversation.
Right. It's so interesting. More than once, John has said from the platform, as we're sharing with an audience, he said, Kendra is here today making new friends. I like all of you, but you wear me out.
Well, there's the dichotomy between the personality types right there.
Exactly, exactly.
And then after that, John, do you go take off in your airplane? I mean, what happens?
That's exactly right. When the Lord wanted me to go from flying airplanes, which is pretty isolated and you're pretty alone doing your own thing, and to speaking in front of crowds, that was a huge, huge step for me. So I usually afterwards, after I visit a little bit, then I go find a secluded place and rejuvenate.
Well, I have to tell you, as we've been dialoguing here, I'm picturing Kendra in front of the computer blogging to the universe and John 20,000 feet up in the air. So
exactly.
Yeah, and both of us being very, very comfortable at doing those things.
Yeah, there you go. John and Kendra Smiley with us. You also note that those of us, again, who are in marriages and we find some conflict with our spouse whom is very different from us, you say take time to remind yourself of the positive attributes of your spouse. What drew us to that person in the first place? Talk to us about that.
Well, I think, you know, obviously there are things that do what make one person attracted to another and vice versa. And remembering those, sometimes we lose track of those, and not only remembering them, but purposefully giving thanks for those things and letting your spouse know, hey, I do appreciate that about you.
And again, remember that as we do that as mom and dad, as we look at the positive things and work on the negative things, trying to remedy some of the negative parts of our personalities, remember, mom and dad out there, your kids are watching. And the more that we can develop the positive and look at each other and the positive traits we have, the better parent we're going to be, and our kids are going to benefit from that.
It's really interesting. Our younger two sons of the three shared something with us that, of course, made their mom smile. They're both clinicians. One's a veterinarian, one's a dentist. And the vet said to the dentist, you know, Jonathan, we're kind of unusual for most of the clinicians that are in our fields because of mom, we know how to make new friends. And so we actually appreciate and want to get to know the clients, and in Aaron's case, the veterinarian, the owners of the dogs and cats that are coming in. And so, yes, they benefit. That may not be the way God created them, but as your kids watch, and, of course, from their dad, they learn, wow, how to be an adult.
Well, and in the final analysis, you also note in your recent piece that you've written in MyFaithRadio.com, we have to take time to realize that our spouse brings balance to our parenting process. And, John, I'm still chuckling internally with your comment that we all think our personality is the best, but my wife's personality, our spouse's personality, really smooths out the bumps and makes for a better parenting process. Comment on that, if you will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just an example, for Kendra and me, the idea of us speaking together, I went from being a colonel in the Air Force and being kind of in command of a few things, and we started speaking together, and she's the one that is very effective up in front of crowds. She's an entertainer. She's a communicator. And so I had to watch her, and I had to take lessons from her when we started. And we would do a presentation, and we would get off the platform, and she would say, "John, you're scaring the people. You know, you can't do that." And so I had to learn from her and her positive traits. And to me, that's just an example of how mom and dad should be working together to smooth over the rough bumps.
Yes.
And make that a presentation to your kids of both, as I said before, the strong points of the personalities that you have.
In the final analysis, John and Kendra Smiley, just a few moments left here, but to take it back to marriage and living together as a couple, offer a word of encouragement, if you would, to the person who's saying, "Man, we're not even at the point of thinking about how to correct course and improve things for the kids. I'm just in this very contentious situation. I thought I loved this person. They just turned out to be somebody completely different." What do you say to that person that's struggling right now?
Well, I would say first, let's do a little internal inspection. Would that be internal or just personal inspection? And let me see how I can analyze and take a look at what my behavior has been. What can I perhaps do to make things run more smoothly in our home? And then I do think it's so important to step back and to say, what was it about that crazy guy or that crazy gal that drew me to her? That probably hasn't changed, because personalities, it's not like you can change your personality. So what was it that was attractive?
Right, and I would say one other thing to that, and that is always remember that God is a creator.
Right.
And when we look at, you know, God brought you together, it's a wonderful, you know, a wonderful thing. He creates. And if you think there's something missing there, as Kendra, you know, go back and look at yourself and what's going on. Are you being an example of Christ? But always remember, as you pray, that God creates. And he is the creator, and he can create the things that are missing.
John and Kendra Smiley, find their latest about opposites attracting and attacking. We've got it for you at myfaithradio.com, our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. John and Kendra, always such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. Thanks for what you do. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Austin. And I'd like to meet your wife sometime.
Well, we'll just make that happen.
Great.
Thank you.
We will bet on that. You'll see how opposites we are, but we'll plan for that. Thanks so much.
Thank
7:55, it's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. On the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I am here weekday morning, 6 till 8. I'm Austin Hill, and we are so grateful for your support. We are listener-supported Faith Radio. You can come on board and join us at any time at myfaithradio.com. Now, of course, we have our Fall Share fundraising event just days away. And a little reminder here, we've got a drawing that we invite you to enter into. How would you like to win a brand new iPad? Now, you can do that. Get to myfaithradio.com. Anybody can enter this drawing. The way this happened, actually, a listener who supports what we do, they came to us and said, "We'd like to supply a brand new iPad that you can have. You can give it away, and perhaps we can encourage others to come on board with financial support of My Faith Radio as they register to win the iPad." Now, anybody can enter the drawing. That's the right thing to do. That's a legal thing that we have to do as well. We can't require you to be a financial supporter in order to enter the drawing. I just want to make that perfectly clear. But I hope you'll get over to myfaithradio.com and check out both of those opportunities. Myfaithradio.com, it's our mobile-friendly website. It configures perfectly on your mobile phone. Coming up tomorrow on our program, privileged to speak once again with author and host Kim Cotola. She hosts regularly on Sunday evenings, but she joins me typically on Thursday mornings as she talks about the cause of life in every stage, the unborn life, the life in the hospital bed or the hospice facility. Kim Cotola joins us again tomorrow morning on our program. Also, Daniel Ray Day, author of 10 Days Without. He'll be one of our guests as well. I'm Austin Hill. Have a great day and keep it right here. For listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.